League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hey guys, Lance Zierlein here. We're Houston. We're the city of champions. How about I give you another champion? If you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. They're champions. Free consultations are available 24/7. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW and DaspitLaw.com.
I am excited to announce that Joe Espada is going to be the new manager of the Houston Astros.
Time to remember yesterday's John and Lance show. Kind of.
Anybody? Yeah, we'll hear him.
You're not on X?
I'm not on X.
Xing right now.
What are you doing pointing to your butt? I wish it was a contract.
See, no accountability, John.
You're a circus anyway, because all that weird stuff you do. True that.
Del Ola Machete.
Beat it.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance.
What's wrong with Frank? There's absolutely something wrong with him.
You said, I am not on X.
I'm not on X. I'm on Twitter. Okay?
That's not how he's taking that phrase.
First of all, and I still, on your phone, do you have the X symbol or do you have the Twitter symbol?
X symbol.
I have the Twitter symbol still on my phone.
Well, that means you haven't updated your phone.
I'm not going to.
Why?
Because I'm holding up. I'm a Twitter guy. I'm going to call it Twitter.
Oh, well, I still call it Twitter. You don't have to.
No, I know, but I still, that's my.
I'm not going to say that's my X. It just doesn't, it doesn't flow. And
no, it's Twitter, okay, and it'll always be Twitter.
I say it, people tweet, they don't X stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, you post stuff. Now it's posting, not Xing stuff.
Well, yeah, you post, yeah, you tweet, post, whatever.
Who cares? So, but it's not this.
Not Degeneration
not
X.
Not this, no.
Frank thought you meant ecstasy. He was not on ecstasy.
I was not, yeah,
during
I know
the
what
show
Frank
yesterday.
Thought.
But you said you weren't, though. But actually, you said you weren't.
I'm not on X.
Yeah.
I'm not on X.
John wasn't rolling during the show. He just...
So a lot of good stuff yesterday. Like, are you happy, Joe Espada?
Yeah.
Are you?
Yeah. Let's keep it in the family.
Yeah.
As our man Sammy once said, who did the opening for the bench at 6:10. Yeah.
Well,
keep it in the family. That's what I
John
believe.
John and Lance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sitting on the bench at 6:10. Yeah. I still got that.
You do?
Woo! Yeah.
Yeah. You gotta play it someday.
It's on a cassette.
Give it
tape.
To Frank.
It's on a cassette tape, so I don't know how you play that.
Oh, Frank can play.
I don't know if there's any technology that will play a cassette tape. But, yeah, Joe Espada, yeah, keep it in the family. I'm happy. I'm happy that who we know and what we – I think most Astros – I didn't see any Astros fans that were mad. Honestly,
no.
Who was the name that everyone wanted? Buck Showalter? Was that somebody you were hoping for?
No.
How about Brady?
No. Nobody else.
There was nobody that people were clamoring for.
No, Joe Espada, he deserves the shot. Joe Espada has been in the, how about continuity? This team has been great for 7 years now in the ALCS. He's been there, done that, been through two managers, three general managers. He knows here. He's made decisions. He talked about yesterday how he and Dusty, you know, it's not... His decision to bat Yiner and Singleton before Altuve got up, he actually addressed it. We'll hear from him about it. They talk about this stuff. They do this every single day. He was as versed in everything that was going on as Dusty was. The problem with Dusty was that Dusty did not want to play Yiner, and Dana did. Dana Brown wanted to play Yiner. So I'm sure I'm sure behind the scenes, Joe Espada just went, and one of the things that he said, Yiner will be the catcher. And, you know, it'll be good to have the general manager and the manager on the same page, right?
Yeah.
That's got to be a collaboration, right? Isn't it? Doesn't it? It's better when it's a collaboration as opposed to Dusty, hey, I've got a lot of wins here. I'm going to do things the way that I want to do. I'm not listening to anybody else. This is the way I'm doing it.
Well, you can have a collaboration, but you still have to have one guy making decisions.
Oh, he's going to make the decisions.
Yeah, it's not an equal democracy.
No. But Joe Spada, but here's the thing.
That's why he's a bench coach.
It's nice when they think the same way.
Why do you need a bench coach then?
Well,
if you don't want to have somebody
because
who's,
you might miss something that the bench coach says. Yeah,
bench coach is important. I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
Bench coach. I think having a bench coach would be great for. You know, Bill O'Brien needed somebody because his time, man, he couldn't do all the things he wanted to do, especially when you're head coach and you're an offense coordinator, head coach, defense coordinator. It'd be nice to have someone like that. There's always a number one on the bench next to you in basketball as well. I think the Espada role is good also because it helps those coaches become managers.
Yep.
You know, they understand more.
So one thing that he did put the rest that we had talked about was game five of the ALCS. The decision after Dusty got thrown out of the game was Dusty behind him making all those calls. Here he is talking about making the decision to bet Yiner and Singleton before Altuve came up.
He asked me about the game game five in Texas and kind of the process of it. And I was telling him that, that's a collaboration. We talk about those moves before the game, before the series starts, who's a good matchup against who, how can we put our players in a position to succeed, right? And I was about to get ready to give that suggestion to Dusty about potentially making those moves once he gets ejected. Now, you know, it's my decision to make those calls, and I was telling him to thank God that those moves work because getting Hosey at the plate, and I just saw it coming. You know, he just does it over and over again. So when those two men get on base, I'm like, here we go. We got a chance.
Yeah, when those two – that was awesome. That was just awesome. And he made those decisions. So,
There's a lot of people who were not – didn't want to give him credit for it.
Yeah. You don't know.
Which is fine.
You don't know.
Yeah, you really don't.
You don't know.
Mean, I would
– There's a lot of managers that sit in that tunnel and call out stuff.
Yeah, it is. But, yeah. I asked somebody who knows those people, and he said, no, it was Espada. And Espada did. But he was very conciliatory there and – hey, it's a collaborative effort and all that stuff. It's irrelevant to what
he
we're
said
talking
he was
about.
Gonna, if Dusty was still there, I was going to make those suggestions to him.
Yeah.
Now, whether or not Dusty takes those suggestions.
That's not something we had seen Dusty do previously.
No, well, we don't know how many suggestions Joe Espada has made through the years that Dusty has taken.
I'm saying that particular manner of pitch hitting we had not seen.
Yeah.
During the season.
Right.
So if Dusty would have done that, it would have been the first time that he pinch hit Yiner for someone else and then.
And,
because the thought is, why
right,
not
and
wait?
And Dusty pinch hit Singleton in that
why
situation with the bases loaded, remember?
Yeah, why
it was
not?
Like, why are you doing
and
this?
And not Yiner. Yeah.
Right.
It doesn't.
Yeah. And then the other thing was, who's making this decision, right? Who is making the decision about who's going to be the manager? Is it going to be Jeff Bagwell? Is it going to be Jim Crane?
The public, there's been a lot of talk. Well, once again, there's a reason people are sending me money on Venmo. It's because of my heroic efforts of throwing a shoe and that brought attention to, it's like my own ribbon. Like, you know when you put ribbons on stuff or you grow mustaches for stuff?
It had nothing to do with anything.
The shoe was Zero. Bagwell awareness.
Bagwell awareness.
It was a Bagwell awareness month for No Brad Ausmus. And so I was able in October to throw a shoe. It brought awareness to the situation.
This is No Ausmus November?
Yeah, that's right. No Ausmus November. And so then now the Astros, every time they talk, they say, boy, Dana Brown is really great and he is doing everything. We will listen to everything Dana Brown says because, frankly, I know on this show what we've talked about is Dana even happy being here since everyone else appears to be making all the decisions? Well, man, I know this. Dana Brown and actually Jim Crane, the last comments he made about Dana's going to lead the charge.
Right.
And then this one, the comment about to hear.
The whole thing started with Brian McTaggart saying, you know, it's going to be a collaboration and Jeff Bagwell is going to have – major input in whatever his tweet was, and everybody was like up in arms.
And then
Jim Crane comes right back afterwards and says, you know, Dana's going to lead the charge. And now here's Dana yesterday talking about the search.
I must say that I'm very excited
this is probably one of my biggest hires of my career, and that brings a lot of excitement to me. Appreciate everyone being here, and I appreciate Jim Crane allowing me to lead the charge, and as I continue to keep him updated on what our thought process was and where we were going in this direction. And so I appreciate that.
Yeah. It almost makes it sound like Jim Crane was just somewhere else doing some work or whatever. And like,
just text me when you let me know what you're thinking.
That's
what he should have been.
No way he was like that.
No.
Now, I'd heard that was his, that Espada was always
Jim Crane.
Dana always wanted Espada.
Yes.
So I do think that this was Dana winning the discussion, maybe.
Yes.
Although
Brown, the only person that he mentioned when he was at the general manager meeting, and even before, right, was Joe Espada. And then he was like, yeah, the other guys. Yeah, there's going to be more. I'm not going to mention any names. But, Joe Espada is the only guy in the organization that we're going to talk to.
I'm not going to mention any names because I don't want to jinx it.
Well, I'm not going to mention any names because I don't want anybody else.
Yeah, no.
That's why. Yeah. There ain't nobody else in this race. It's Joe Espada, and now let's move on. Okay, and I like it. And the general manager should have made the decision. Let the general manager do his job. Jim Crane has been great at that.
Let him cook. Let Dana Brown cook.
Well, here's the deal: is he trusted Jeff Luneau, right?
Right.
I mean,
it sure seemed like it.
I mean, right. But Jeff Luneau, this was his first general manager job. You give over your entire organization, the minor league system, that he had so much work to do with the crappiest team in baseball, and he did it, and he built up a trust with Jim Crane. Obviously, Jim Click never had that. Jim Click never had that.
No.
I mean, he 1 year, and you won a World Series, and you beat it. It's time for you to go. Maybe he's got that kind of thing that kind of faith in Dana Brown now. I would hope so. And now Joe Espada's got to come through.
You hire him for a reason.
Yeah.
Trust your GM. Job to do. I mean, look, I'm not telling Jim Crane it's his product. I'm not telling Jim Crane not to have an interest in the team and maybe have his hands on some stuff. That's going to happen, and he has to make all that. And frankly, Jim Crane knows baseball way more than Drayton did. Jim Crane's been a good owner. The last couple of years have been a little concerning. We know that he's got an idea of how to run a club when it comes to long-term contracts, and I understand it. Now, is it going to make it painful for Astros fans? Yes, it is. It is going to be painful. It's begun to be painful, but it's going to get way more painful over the next 2 years, more than likely. That's just the price of doing business, the way the Astros look at maintaining a more sustainable product year after year after year. With that said, I think the decision to kind of eke away from some of the analytics-driven stuff was a concern to me just because it's been so successful. And when we come back, we'll hear from Joe Espada again, because Joe Espada does believe in the numbers. He is someone who's come up with analytics in terms of matchups, and that's something that's really, really important to him. So important stuff coming out from Joe Espada in the press conference, your new Astros manager, and from D'Amico Ryans. The Texans had their Monday press conference, and D'Amico had some great things to say about success and how you handle success and who's responsible for success.
Right, and we've heard this before, when they didn't have success, when they didn't prepare right.
Yeah.
Right now, though, who prepares? Underdog.
Underdog Fantasy. Well, if you're prepared. So with Underdog Fantasy, they say, look, this is what we're going to do. We're going to make, and the Pick'em Challenge has become a really big feature for them because it allows people to play the game within the game. You're sitting here watching your Monday night game yesterday, and you could go higher than 1.5 touchdowns for Russ Wilson, and it would have been a 1.5 times multiplier. It was a special feature they had baked inside the Pick'em Challenge, and you pick between 2 and 5 players. You take their stats, and you either go higher or lower than whatever stat they have listed, whether it's rushing yards, a total of fantasy points, a total of receptions, targets. Dalton Kincaid's targets were 8. I was looking at that yesterday thinking, man, I mean, 8 is a lot, but how is this game going to go? Is this going to be a run-heavy game? What's it going to be? So you analyze the games, and then you make your high and low predictions on the scores. And you can win between – or on the statistic totals. And you can make between 3 times and 20 times your original play when you're going with the Pick'em Challenge. So make sure that you download the app in the App Store. Use promo code Lance to make your initial deposit. They will not only match up to $100, there will be a special mystery pick in your Pick'em lobby that you can use that either makes it easier to win or is a multiplier for you. It's underdogfantasy.com. Make sure that you are 18 or older and present in the state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms and conditions apply. If you have a gambling problem, call 800-GAMBLER or go to ncpgambling.org.
ESPN 97.5.com. Aya Cane Powder.
There's a shortage of perfect breasts in this world. It would be a pity to damage yours.
Oh, Wesley, darling.
John plus Lance equals a damn good start to your day. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance.
All right, 717 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So, back to you want to talk, you want to touch on.
Yeah, I'm going to hear from Joe Espada from first. An analytics standpoint. So, Joe Espada is the guy who. So behind the scenes, one of the talks was that there was a it's kind of an issue between the old guard, which was Lopez, Pettis, Dusty, and Machete, and then the other way of thinking, which was, you know, more analytics driven.
Yeah.
And apparently that was, you know, some of the tension in the building was, you know, how to do things, which that happens from time to time. I'm not pointing any fingers at Dusty or anything. I'm just telling you, I'm just giving you some background on this. That's just the argument of how are we going to do this? And Joe Espada was apparently, from what I understood, kind of caught in the middle of playing, you know, between the front office and Dusty was kind of the guy kind of caught in the middle because he is a believer. He has been with analytics driven guys, and he understands it. But at the same time, he's a bench coach, and he knows about the in-game decisions. And I think he, you know, has to balance between the eyeball test and the numbers. Well, Joe Espada was asked about his approach yesterday, and I thought this was a refreshing answer.
The balanced approach between the two, very important. We look at data closely, how we evaluate our players for our game planning, for player evaluation is very important, but also the human side of things, the human behavior, the player's performance, their makeup, their toughness, what they're going through in that moment. I'll take those things under consideration, all those things to make good, solid decisions.
That, to me, that's the way it should be in all sports. It is the numbers shouldn't make the decisions for you. The numbers should be
the
information
coin should
you
speak.
Use. The coin should speak.
Right.
You really want to know the truth.
The coin has spoken.
That's what you do. You flip it,
mm-hmm.
and you go heads or tails, and you let the
coin.
Well,
in a lot of instances, it might be a heads or tails. I don't know. You know what? The numbers say this. I really feel this. Ba-ba. Let's flip the coin. Yeah. I like that way of going about it.
The coin speaks.
I flip the coin all the time on what to do, yeah. on whether, you know, to hit a 5-iron or a 4-iron or, you yeah. know, whatever. And that's
and then the coin is spoken. Once a coin speaks, it's out of your hands. That's the great thing about making decisions with a coin flip is it's chance. You know, it's out of your – it's not your decision. You don't have to rack your brain about it.
No. And, you know, this week the Texans will probably – D'Amico's going to go, I don't know, should we practice or not practice? I don't know. Let's flip the coin.
Uh-huh.
You know
– Well, Monday was –
The coin has spoken.
They didn't have to practice yesterday.
They didn't have to practice yesterday. And today's the regular day off.
Yeah.
But here's the deal is I think you should just rest on your laurels. This season already, D'Amico is already in the Coach of the Year conversation. C.J. Stroud in the MVP conversation.
Yes. Bypassed Rookie of the Year right to MVP.
Right. At this point last year, if they had, you know, 5 wins, I would have already collected my money. There's still a little work to be done, but I think we could cruise in with 8 games left. We can absolutely cruise in.
You can't cruise in with 8 games left. D'Amico Ryans, as a matter of fact, was asked about how to win. And do you think closing games and winning games comes when you just cruise in on your laurels?
That's how I would do it.
You think that's how D'Amico does it?
That's how I do
it. I saw his post game.
That's how I do it on a daily basis.
D'Amico's the best. I saw his post game. Did you see his locker room
stuff?
Yeah. I mean, so good. The players.
Well, that's all they did.
I mean,
they
how
were
are you not run
that's
through
all
the
they
wall?
Did was yell.
Yeah. I mean, D'Amico Ryans, though, is one of those guys that you feel his leadership.
Yeah.
You feel the controlled intensity and you feel a confidence level. I think You know, when you see Bill O'Brien screaming and yelling, and I think Bill O'Brien is fundamentally a pretty good coach, but he, how can you be confident when those around you are yelling and screaming?
He was
and
screaming at Mac Jones on the sideline on Sunday.
I'm sure he was frustrated. How could you not be frustrated
with
Mac Jones?
No, I guess
you're
going to be frustrated with Mac Jones.
And that's Bill's personality.
But he's hitting at the, he's pounding at the.
But that is going to lead to erratic behavior on a team. D'Amico's quiet confidence is important. And D'Amico talked about yesterday about learning how to win.
No one wavered. Riding on our sideline. That's what I love. I love the resolve of our team. You know, everyone believed that we were going to win. Everyone put in the work and made the plays to help us win this game. And but it starts with the confidence that you have to win these tight games, and also knowing that, you know, we got guys, you know, CJ, receivers, Noah stepping up, having a big game. Like, guys stepped up and made big plays. And none other than Motor, the way he ran the football today is our best rushing game this year. Credit to the O-line and Motor for the way he ran the football. It was impressive to see, and I love the way he finished all of his runs.
Yeah, and he really did. He did finish runs, and it's, you know, learning to win games. I still think that's a concern because the defense now four times have given up leads in the last minute. I know it's two of those became wins because of C.J. Stroud and the offense, but it is still worth talking about. The defense has not learned to finish games.
No.
This is four times over the last six where you have had leads that you gave up, whether it was you gave up a lead to the other team or one was a tie this last game, but only because your defense stepped up or they would have taken. Well, actually, it's only because Tyler Boyd, a consistent veteran, dropped a touchdown.
Okay.
Because then you would have had to score a touchdown, John, and I don't know if there's enough time to score a touchdown.
Okay, so D'Amico talked about two. Dell, let's talk. Let's do number seven. Number seven. There's a lot of team. Everybody practices 2-minute drill, right? Everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, they put a lot of emphasis on it.
You have a specific day you do it.
You do it, and you do it multiple times. And actually, they stayed on the field and did more. Did you hear that story?
Huh.
Yeah, they said they wanted to stay on the field and do more. Who was it that called for it? I forget which player called for it. Somebody on Twitter can help me out. But they, maybe that was actually the week before. Whatever the case may be, they are working at it, and here's D'Amico talking about working on that 2-minute drill.
When it's crunch time, man, it's 2-minute mode. Right? We've gone through those situations a ton. We practice it every week, so our guys are calm in the moment because we've been through it, right? And they have confidence in that moment. You have confidence in our O-line and the way they protect in that moment, the receivers, right, being exactly where they're supposed to be, making the plays, and, of course, CJ being able to step up and make plays, play after play after play in those 2-minute drives. Is just, it's fun to watch, right, because I know they're confident. As soon as they step on the field, they know they can drive the ball. They know they can make plays to put us in position, right, to score. And that's what they did on Sunday. That's what they did, you know, last week versus Tampa Bay. And the more you do those things in live action, I think the more confidence you continue to have when you are in those positions.
It's what they did the week before. It's what they did the week before. So, listen, every team practices this. The Texans are really good at it, and there's one reason why.
I've never seen a Texas team that was like this.
It's never like this.
I mean, it's a small sample size, but it's a good one.
Did you hear the story by Tank Dell? Tank Dell said, I'll get a text from him at 11 o'clock at night.
Oh, you're talking about CJ.
About CJ.
Yeah.
Tank Dell says, I get a text from him at about 11 o'clock at night, and it's about the defense that they're playing and what we can do differently against that defense. And he's like, it's 11, bro. It's midnight, bro.
I love
bro.
That.
It's just like when David Carr was here.
When David got home and he took off his tape ring or put the real ring on or whatever, the wedding ring, and he was throwing his kids in the air and playing. Like, I love Family Guys and guys being good dads, and you just can't be a good dad when you're an NFL quarterback. You have to be a bad dad.
No,
well, that's Tom Brady. What happened to him?
Yeah,
dedicated to the game.
You are such a hater.
He was a good dad.
That's what I'm saying. Well,
he breaks down. Family man.
I'm agreeing with Lance. Huh? That's what Lance said. Can't be a good family guy to be a great quarterback.
Tom Brady is a great dad.
If you're a coach or a quarterback, you cannot
Maybe the husband thing wasn't all that good.
But great dad making out your kid on on game days.
Stop. This is the Dolphins.
You're the worst person.
He did do that, though. Did
you're
he do
hate
that?
For him.
You can come after me because of bias, but didn't he not make out with this kid?
He didn't make out. He gave him a kiss.
He kissed him.
On the lips?
All parents kiss their kids.
When's the last time you kissed
Except on the lips.
Yeah, would you kiss JT on the lips?
No, you don't do that. But he's different. You know what?
That's why he's the GOAT. He's the GOAT.
He does things different.
Goats do things different.
Pat Mahomes making out with his kid.
No, not making out. You're using a bad phrase.
Now,
it's not making out.
Here's the one that you wanted to play, number 10.
No. Wait. I want to stick with interesting. I think some discussions are being had behind the scenes with Texans players. I want you to listen first to what this is from right after the game. I want you to listen to C.J. Stroud. Listen to C.J. Stroud's message after the game.
I know it wasn't easy, but this is like that's what you want in the NFL. You want those hard wins because you want to be playing your best ball at this point. I mean, I think we're doing that. I think we're on an upscale. And to be back in Ohio, I got a lot of Buckeye love, and I appreciate everybody who was in support. I mean, a lot of Texans out here, too. Like, we showing up. So I really hope next week we play the Cardinals, man. Y'all pull up and we pack that thing out. Like, I really want to see a sold-out stadium. I think at this point, man, I think that's what we're ready for. And that juice that y'all bring, man, we play with 100% energy. And even in the negative light, coming to the away game, like, you want to be the villain. And you put on your mask, you ride with your brothers, and you go make plays. So it was a big win for us and got to build on this momentum.
He's happy.
Yeah.
The Texans fans showing up on the road. He said, you know what? Well, you guys should pull up at the home game, too, and see what happens. Here's D'Amico Ryans.
D'Amico Ryans yesterday.
Brought up something similar.
Yep.
Our fans drive the energy in our stadium. So anytime we can have our stadium sold out and our fans are loud, just as the end of that Tampa Bay game, when they were loud, right, it affected the offense, right? Our fans can truly affect the game by showing up, being loud, right, being rowdy, and causing chaos for the opposing offenses. So, I mean, we love our fans to show up and show out as CJ asked them to yesterday. It's definitely a benefit to us, and it'd be a benefit to them helping us and getting a win by being as loud as possible.
Yeah. So
you know what's being talked about in that locker room?
People
show up.
You know what'd be
okay,
cool?
So,
nah, hey, you guys looking at this the wrong way.
Here's what Tank's saying, like, it looks good to me.
Yeah.
And CJ's like, no. Every game, we play Rutgers, and we be packed
this came
out.
Down
Nico
from Cal.
Collins like, me too. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Every damn game.
You guys are looking at this the wrong way.
Okay.
This came down from Cal in the ticket office. Hey, make some noise because the ticket sales ain't going
so
great.
They played the Steelers here. The Steelers showed up better than the Texans fans did.
Well, the Steelers showed up everywhere.
Here's what'll be embarrassing. If the Cardinals dominate the stands.
Fans.
Stop it.
There are no Cardinals fans.
Okay. That's all I'm saying. We better have more fans than the Cardinals.
There's going to be a section of people with little number one jerseys representing Kyler, and that'll be it.
Oh, yeah, and they'll be regular
little. Why
size.
Why has it always got to be little? Why has it always got to be
little
with Kyler?
I'm assuming his family's diminutive, too.
Have you guys seen the overhead view of Kyler running around and scrambling? Mm. When you see it, it will crystallize little Kyler. If there's an overhead view and all you see are little hands and legs running,
stop
but the
it.
Torso stays
this
the same.
Is terrible.
No, I'll show it to you. Mina Kimes had it, and when I watched it, I was transfixed.
I've seen the video.
On how small. I don't know.
We're not doing that.
All I could hear was.
Most people's takeaway wasn't, look how small he is. That wasn't most people's takeaway.
Well,
it was like,
me and John's
so we've had nothing but positive. There are some things that need to be cleaned
now, pull
up.
Pull up, though, fans, really. Yeah. There's a rumor, and I don't know this to be true. Supposedly, it's not even supposedly. I've heard the streets have said they were going to give away $50 gift cards to the first 50,000 people
that's
who showed up.
That's not true.
That's what the streets are saying.
That's,
I'm not
saying.
When the streets say it,
well,
it's
I don't
a
care.
Coin
yeah,
flip.
Tell people that. Yeah. I don't care. When we come back, it's not all positive. There's some things that got to be cleaned up. We'll talk about it on the other side. Right now, though, I'm talking about Doc Linville, and you need to clean it up on the top of your head. You need to clean it up if you're mangy, okay? I was mangy. I had, you know, here and there. I had hair, you know, it was, you know, showing up where it wanted to and where it didn't, whatever. Here's the deal is if you're looking for a great way to have hair, to move it from the side and the back to the top of your head, because, yeah, look at this rim I got around my head. Everybody's got that. The side and back of your hair always grows. You know what does it? The top. So here's the deal is Doc Linville moves it. And Doc Linville's moving it at a better price right now, and it ain't going to last forever. $3.50 per NeoGraft is a great price. He's already competitive, not only competitive, but better than a lot of these places with $4. But he's giving you an extra 50 cents off right now, and it ain't going to last forever. He said, I'm going to do this. I don't care. Let's do this thing. Even though he's one of the biggest already in the hair movement business, he still says, I'm still going to give it up for the people because he don't care. Here's the deal. If you're looking for hair, now's the best time to go to 975hair.com. That's 975hair.com.
ESPN 975.com. Fighter of the Night, man.
Hey, man. Oh.
Fighter of the Night, man.
Oh.
When I wake up in. You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John Granato and Lance Zerline.
The Houston Cougars close out their regular season home slate this Saturday against the Oklahoma State Cowboys, coming off a tough loss to the Cincinnati Bearcats this past Saturday. Final home game of the regular season, and they will be saluting their seniors. Join us for a night of thrilling plays, unforgettable moments, and a celebration of those dedicated senior athletes. Don't miss out on all the excitement. Tickets start at just $15, but you're listening to us, so we're going to give you a chance to go for free. But if you don't win, go to uscougars.com/tickets or call 713-GO-COUGS now to get your tickets. Come early, be loud, wear red. So caller 5 at 740 was a pair of tickets to the Cougars versus Oklahoma State in the final home game of the regular season for the Cougars. We'll also give away another pair later in the show. But caller 5, 740 was a pair of tickets to the Cougs versus the Oklahoma State Cowboys.
Yeah. I don't know why he does. Jim Harbaugh. Looks like Mr. Magoo, according to Lance. I don't know. All right, I rewatched the game yesterday. I wanted to see. I got a couple observations. One is Denzel Perryman is terrible in this pass coverage thing.
Yeah, he's never had.
So
never
he gave up. You know, their first opening drive. He gave up a couple of passes to Hudson. I mean, he's on the coverage, and Hudson. I get it. Guys are going to make plays. You know, they're going to make, even if you're close. I mean, it's Joe Burrow. He's going to throw it accurately. I get it. I get all that stuff. The interference in the end zone that he had, not only did he have a hold, but he also had an interference.
Wait, illegal contact and interference. They called two penalties on
two
him.
Two penalties.
Have you? I don't know that I've seen that often.
But the point on this is that, okay, so the tight end is running around. Who was it? Sampler? Was it Sample? Was it? Was it Hudson?
May have been Drew Sample. Sample.
It might have been Sample. Yeah. Whatever the case.
There's Irv Smith. They have three tight ends.
Yeah.
That they use all the time.
So when you're in the back of the end zone, first of all, that's 5 yards from the line of scrimmage.
Right.
There's no more contact. Right.
Right.
He's put, and then when the balls, he's pushing him out of the end zone.
Yeah.
Like, in what world is that not going to be called? How are you, that's your defense. It's automatic that it's either going to be illegal contact down the field or interference.
I guess you're just so afraid of getting beat. Your face guard, so you're already panicking. I guess you're just so afraid of being the one that gives up the big, you know.
But you're giving up the big point. Penalty.
I know.
So, I mean, but at least give it. The guy might drop the ball. Like, guess who was on the coverage when Tyler Boyd dropped the ball in the end zone?
It was
Perryman.
Was it really?
Yes. He's the closest.
How did they get Perryman? So, I mean, that's a good job by Cincinnati to get Perryman matched up on, well, really anybody. He's not good in coverage. But Perryman was on Boyd a couple times.
Yes.
Why is that third down? Why is he on the field on third down?
That's a good question. Not only that, he was underneath, and Petrie was over the top on the Boyd big completion that went down the sideline to set that up.
Well, remember, you have Henry Tuotua was out, but I don't know that would have made a difference.
Cashman. I mean, or a deep, well, or Christian, a safety.
Can Christian Harris, I would think that Cashman.
Christian Harris is much better in coverage.
Well, Cashman and Christian Harris, just from a physical standpoint, are much better.
Listen, you cannot catch a ball in the flat against the Texans if Christian Harris is on the field.
He is a freight train.
He is crushing
runs
people.
The alley and just, and here's the thing, he gets there so quickly. Now, he's a run and chase will linebacker is what he is. He doesn't see the plays very well from inside the box. He doesn't have great vision. He doesn't have great end sneaks. But man, if you just allow him to run and go run and hit things, that's what he does well. And so
he's been lighting
you're
people
playing
up.
To his strength because he's so quick. Running backs don't have a chance to get foot planted and make him miss. As soon as they catch,
Boom.
I mean, he is popping.
He is. I don't want to catch a ball in the flat with Christian Harris.
I never want to catch a ball in the flat.
But you know who I do want to catch a ball against? Jalen Petrie. He can't tackle.
He's usually really good. The one in the backfield.
No, he missed a lot of tackles last year.
He goes low and tries to chop out legs.
And how many times has he blitzed and he misses the guy? That was a huge play on third down where it's a perfect call. He in the backfield and he misses the tackle
on Joe Mixon. Yeah.
Yeah.
He can't. He went
not
at the
only
legs.
That, but he's
Mixon made a good play to stay upright.
He's also the guy on the long Tyler Boyd completion that set up the field goal to tie it. He's right. Pyramid's in front and Petrie's right behind him. And Petrie makes a bad move and he takes one cut and he's gone. And it's like, Jalen, what you doing? He didn't have a tackle Sunday. He didn't have a tackle.
You better watch Slander and Jalen Petrie.
No,
we love Jalen Petrie in this city.
I love Jalen Petrie. It's the tackling thing. Okay.
I'm going to see how many missed tackles he has this year.
How about, did you see what PFF's grade for Titus Howard was on pass blocking?
No.
29.
Ew.
How do you throw for 356 yards and you have one guy with a 29 and the rest of the guys were all around the 50s?
I don't know how the grading thing goes. There was one
sack. Titus Howard is on the guy and here comes a guy up the middle that Titus Howard picked up and his guy took off and went after CJ and CJ had to get rid of the ball. Titus Howard actually did the right thing. There was a guy coming up the middle, and Titus Howard got off of that guy and cut off the guy that was coming up the middle because that guy would have been closer.
Yeah.
He would have been closer and had a full head of steam going after CJ. I think your dad knows PFF's grades for linemen.
It can be a little problematic because I know this from watching. I look at their grades just because I match my tape to the cut-ups to, like, if I'm looking at there's a running back, you know, Kyren Williams came from Notre Dame, is it with the Chargers? Or is it the Rams? No, he's with the Rams. And in pass pro, for the Joe Moore Award, we're like, this kid should get his own award. He flattens people on pass protection when he was at Notre Dame. He was unbelievable. And PFF had a grade on him like 30-something. And I said, man, let me go back and look at it. I don't know what I honestly have no idea. He's incredible.
Really?
And I have no idea how they came up with it. And this happens frequently. Now, you know, the pass pro stuff, you have a limited, the grade's going to be lower because you may have, you know, you have however many, 37 pass reps or whatever. And then if he gives up a pressure, that's a minus. Any kind of pressure, what they deem pressures. So until you have it tied directly to location of the football, you know, through sensors, location of the football, a lot of it is who's grading that particular game.
Well, and not only that, back to Jalen Petrie.
Now,
the
Jalen
first
Petrie,
touchdown, you know who?
They
you
only
know,
have two
there was a safety over the top for Stingley.
Well, they have
you know who that was? It was Petrie.
It was Petrie on the first. Yeah, but that
and
was.
It was also Petrie, Jalen, Jamar Chase. Now, Jamar Chase, Joe Burrow broke out, and it's hard to stay with
the
guy.
Wait, on the touchdown to Trent Irwin, though, that coverage is up to. He's got to flip his because it didn't look like it was cover two. He's got to flip.
Well, he's got help over the top. Only Petrie was behind it.
But yeah, but it's over the sideline too. Like that's one that you're not going to. Joe Burrow's going to beat your safety there every 100 days out of 100 days.
Yeah,
he's going to beat you if he hits
it in between the two, right?
And, yeah,
and that was in the end zone. Whatever the case may be, Jalen Petrie. We don't know what the coverage was and whether or not Jalen. Jalen Petrie was the closest guy to Jamar Chase as well when Jamar Chase caught the touchdown pass. Now, it's a broken play. It's tough to stay with a guy. Jamar Chase made a nice one.
Yeah, he was coming across the field. He was coming across the field because I was trying to look at who the trail coverage was, the corner who had a man-to-man.
Yeah.
And I couldn't see who it was on the replay.
Well, I think it was two safeties. I think it would have been Houston Carson.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
I want to have a third-string safety on Jamar Chase. That's good.
Well, it might have been three deep. I mean, and they got beat. I don't know. But
the scramble, he came across.
Joe
made a great throw. I'm looking at Jalen Petrie. They've got him for only two missed tackles in passing, you know, tackling as a after the catch. And they've got him for – frankly, this isn't that bad. They've got him for seven missed tackles this year in run games. Now, Actually, it is a bad percentage because it shows him at 15 total tackles, solo tackles. His tackle percentage or his run defense last year was his negative plays were 10% of the plays were negative, and his positive were 7.6%, which leaves a lot of plays are just, you know,
yeah, just right.
Not big positives, not big negatives. This year it's 6.3 negative, which is lower, but only 4.4 positive. So by the numbers, they've got him at 59 grade against the run, but last year they had him 44-2. I thought he was really good against the run last
year. He misses a lot of tackles, right?
But last year, didn't he feel like he made a lot of plays?
He does,
last year?
But well, let's face it, that defensive line, he was in a lot of plays.
Oh my God. Last year he had 28 missed tackles in the run game.
Yeah.
Whoa.
No, he's
28 missed tackles last year. He's got 7 this year. This year he's really tightened it up. You actually should be thankful.
Well, he hasn't played. He missed a lot of games.
That's right. He was out all those games.
Yeah.
Well, he's only out, what, 2 games?
2 or 3? I don't know. Two or three. I mean, he do.
That's right.
He misses a lot of tackles, bro. 703-780-3776 is the number.
I'm riding with Petrie. You guys can jump off.
I am too.
You
no, no,
jump
no.
off the Petrie.
But you know what? Yeah,
what did I say?
I'm still
he's
on.
He's wild, though. He's
You're always
wild.
Tailing whatever John says.
That's how you think this is going? I just follow what John says and agree with
him?
I know
in your mind you're like, yeah, Petrie's bad.
Oh, I didn't say a word.
You know who's good? John Clay Wolf. John Clay Wolf is great. Look, if you're looking for the best way to sell that vehicle, got one way to do it, my friend. All you need to do is go to GiveMeTheVIN.com. John Clay Wolf will buy it. And especially if you got a really, really nice car, John Clay Wolf pays stupid money. He really does. It's a vintage car, a really high-end car. Now, if you got a regular car, he's going to give you more. It doesn't matter. I mean, I don't care what kind of car it is. Now, he doesn't buy like $1,000 cars. He just doesn't do that. I mean, those are unsellable. What he does is he buys them and he gives you more for them. And then he takes them to auction and he hopes that he makes some money on it. He'll make pennies on the dollar as opposed to these other guys that are trying to buy low as they possibly can. That's what you're taught, right? Buy low, sell high. John Clay Wolf buys high and sells high. You ain't affected by how he sells it. All you're affected by is how he buys it. And he buys it from you, and he gives you more money. That's what you're worried about. And here's the deal. If you're looking for the best way to do it, you have to go. If you're selling your car, you must go to find out what it's worth at GiveMeTheVIN.com. That's GiveMeTheVIN.com.
ESPN 97.5 on Twitch. I don't get it.
There are things in this world that we will never fully understand.
Understand.
Back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Lance and John. Scratch that. Reverse it.
So, this story broke yesterday. Did you guys see this? Remember when Colorado Buffaloes, they played UCLA?
Yeah.
And at UCLA. And they got back to the locker room and their jewelry, they had all kinds of stuff stolen out of their lockers.
In California.
It turns out it was UCLA recruits from a school called Beaumont High. It's not our Beaumont High. It's Beaumont High in Riverside County.
Wow.
Yeah. And they went into the locker room, and I'm not sure that's the best way to go about recruiting. I mean, if you want to go to a school, let me go to the school, and when I get there, let me steal stuff. I don't know. That's not the best way to go about that.
So literally you're recruiting some thieves.
Yes, you're recruiting thieves. Now, they're working toward, they got some of the stuff recovered, and they're working towards getting the rest of the stuff
recovered.
What happens
to the players?
I imagine they're going to be, well, they're juveniles, first of all, so they're probably, you know, and in California, it doesn't matter what you steal, you're going to be fine. You're fine, right? It's a lot like here, though, isn't it?
Well, I mean, pretty much everywhere. Well, here's the thing. Like, how do we feel, what would you... All right, if somebody came to Miami and you're recruiting those guys, what would you like? What are your thoughts? But they're really, 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 really good.
And they stole from the rival team?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's better? That's okay?
I mean, orange and green.
Yeah.
I'm glad you know what side you're on. This is one of these things where a college will just tell a school, hey, you guys can come in today. I'm not even sure if these are major recruits or just, hey, we're trying to build a relationship with the school. Obviously, when this happens, you don't want that type of – you don't want those guys in your locker room unless they're five stars.
Hmm. Oh, yeah. Hmm. Do you want them in your store?
Yeah.
Do you want those kind of guys in your store?
Why would a school own a store?
Okay, but what if you're in a store?
It's interesting you think that way.
Yeah, that you would think that way, Dell,
yeah.
That it's not okay. Because yeah. If you're in a store.
Hold on. Before
somebody is
before
stealing
you get to
something,
the story where you try to paint me in a certain way, I didn't say I would stop those guys from stealing. I just say you wouldn't want them
to steal.
No,
but you don't think it's okay. You don't think it's
why
right.
Why don't you tell people no. How you had a why, chance?
Yeah, let me. That's, you could have been a good
how
citizen.
You had a chance to actually. Live up to the social contract.
What contract?
And you decided to let right. The country down.
The
not
country.
Just the
country.
Go ahead.
Well, definitely the Harris County area or
so. Why
Leeds
should
City
why
area.
Should I be the loss prevention officer for a CVS?
Why don't you tell people what happened, Del?
I walked into
let people judge
I walked
you.
Into the CVS over here in Richmond and Rice. For whatever reason, that CVS doesn't refrigerate their drinks. It's just a thing they don't do. I don't know why that is. At least when I get there in the morning, maybe they do with the milk. I would hope so. But their energy drinks, their regular drinks, their sodas, they don't refrigerate them. So, but that's besides the point. I walk in and I hear, I'm barely paying attention, but I notice that sound. So I look to my right and there's a guy struggling with the chip reader at the self checkout. So I'm like, okay. By the time I get back, he should be fine, if that even crossed my mind. I go get my drink, and I come back. He's still dealing with it. Now, at the time I walked in, there was a CVS employee trying to help him, but another customer walked in, so she decided to go help him and walk away, and then she was going to come back, I assume. By the time I get my drink, he is still struggling with this particular self-checkout card reader. I go to the one to his right, have no issues. And I'm ready to check out and type it in my phone number for customer care, get the discount, whatever. And I like charity, so I round up on my charge. So not a bad person, despite what you're trying to paint.
Bad
me as.
Person. No. That doesn't make you a good
okay,
person rounding
well,
up.
Okay, fine,
let's
whatever.
So how did this
fine, end? Whatever. As I am wrapping up and having my receipt sent to my email address, the gentleman who's got a cart, now normally people walk into CVS, they don't have a cart, but they are available, so he has a number of items, maybe three or four bags worth. I look to my left, and I get this dismissive sound from him, like, all right. And then he rolls the cart outside without paying because the chip reader was still giving him issues. After a couple more, he just rolls outside. And then another employee, not the original employee I discussed, this one was a man, goes, hey, my man, where are you going? But he doesn't stop him. He just lets him roll out. And I look, and I'm like, huh, I guess this is happening. And then when I walk out, turn to my right, I assume he had a car because there's a lot of bags. He didn't have a car. He just rolled the cart a couple feet down, took the bags out of the cart, and walked on his merry way.
So you
way.
Had multiple opportunities to stop a crime in progress.
A crime in progress, and you did nothing.
And do your job.
You did nothing.
So your societal job.
That's yeah. not my job. There's no. actually a guy there whose job it was, not, and he didn't do it.
Have you seen okay. videos where just regular people just run and jump on people? And
why would I do
them?
That?
How about this? Did you guys see the story about the cop that got shot, and the guy came up during a gunfight with the guys, and a good Samaritan came out of nowhere, pulled the cop to safety.
Mm-hmm.
That is a good person. You, not
you
so much.
I would like to point
you,
and now
not
all
a good
of our
person.
Insurance premiums are going
I
up.
I would like to point
now,
out.
Oh, now I go to like CVS to, and guess how much stuff is going to cost.
Premiums go up, and guess what? Gatorade's
I would like to
now.
Point out that the gentleman who actually worked at the CVS who saw the guy walk out was like, oh, okay. So I'm supposed to.
They're
do
not
something.
Allowed to. They get fired.
I'm not. What
you
am I doing?
Got fired, Dale.
Yeah,
why would
you're
I
not,
do it?
No, you
we
could just be a good person.
I could have put your Venmo out there for people to give you a dollar.
I'm supposed to stop him because he takes a couple sodas.
Dale, you had a chance to make
maybe
a difference.
Hold on.
And you didn't.
How about this? The man was so desperate to feed his family that he decided to steal. How about that? How about that?
AOC.
Am I supposed
Did
to
he steal a bunch of bread?
Am I supposed to stop a single father from feeding his small children?
See, there it is.
No.
How about
now
that?
Now he's using this Trump card
okay.
on you.
How, right.
Now what?
He's Jean Valjean is what you're saying?
Are you suggesting that I should have stopped that man from giving bread and sandwich meats and drinks and water
is
to his kids?
Is that what he had?
Is that it?
It was like
he was trying to
hold
pay.
On, what? Did you see what he had?
He had a couple like fruit drinks or something like that. It wasn't like he wasn't like he was stealing
probably
like
some
electronics.
Probably makeup.
He had food.
Nail polish.
No, I saw him. He had food. So okay. Are you telling me a hungry man with his hungry family is supposed to stop?
Jean, he tried to pay.
Exactly. He tried.
Okay.
He tried.
Each other
that's good enough though.
Yeah.
Okay. I
fix your machine.
I'm sorry. I'm out.
Hey, CVS.
fix your machine.
You're a terrible person. You are not the hero we needed.
Before you say another word,
all I know is I wish we had an intern answer this.
Before you take me up like a slave again, listen to me. There is something that I must do. You just basically said the entire, you took basically Les Mis, a scene from it. You put it in a CVS with a broken cooler.
Only
and
this.
Then you had a chance to be Valjean. Is he the good guy?
Jean Valjean's a good guy.
No,
Javert is the bad guy.
That's the guy who
that's the guy who
him?
Yeah, who keeps chasing him. You could have been Javert.
Who wants to be that guy?
He's the bad guy.
Who wants to be Javert?
Who knows?
He's the bad guy.
Yeah, why would I want
to
be that guy?
He actually killed himself.
Wow.
That's right. And I've actually performed that, but
and we both stopped talking so we can get that clean. So now we have part of you singing from Les Mis.
Mm-hmm.
Good. I'm happy you
I just want to point out, you guys don't know that man's situation. He could have been very hungry trying to feed his kids.
Or he could have just been seen, or maybe it was a test. Maybe it was God testing you to see if you would make the right choice. Remember that song, What If God Was One of Us, Just a Slob Like One of Us? It maybe that
Are
was
you saying God?
I don't know.
Are you saying God would stop a hungry man from feeding his family?
I can just say this. I can just say this.
Man.
You had a chance. When you go home at night, has that been bothering you?
You know who I don't want? Yes, it should be. You know who I don't want in a foxhole?
Dell.
Okay, Dell. Because he ain't going
to
step up.
You had a chance to make a difference.
Save,
you know what?
In Harris
save
County.
This city.
I feel like
that's
more,
League City behavior.
I feel
this
like,
is Harris County.
I feel like I'm more like Jesus than you think. That man was trying to feed his family, and it's almost like I multiplied the food in his bag.
He had the money to pay for
Dell's
it.
He tried to.
He just didn't have the patience.
He tried to. And he decided I had had enough, so I'm not going to stop a man who's trying to feed
people who
are hungry.
Terrible person.
So I think I did a great service. I rounded up on my bill to go to charity, and I let a hungry
father.
What
if those kids from Riverside
were trying to 12 cents?
1 cent.
What if the kids from Riverside were trying to feed their?
I rounded up before looking at the bill. It turned out it was $2.99.
You gave a penny.
And I didn't know.
This is you're the worst person.
I chose round up before I looked at the bill.
Oh yeah, that penny. That's gonna feed the hungry. Hey, nice job, Del.
A penny a day can do a lot of things.
I've heard
is
that.
What we were told.
I think you guys.
Not anymore. Now it's for a cup of coffee a day. Like which coffee? Because some of them are really expensive cups.
I'm assuming Peter and Chris have thoughts. But
Peter
I
and Chris have thoughts on this on the other side, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Right now, though. I've got some thoughts on mybookie.ag. Listen, if you go to mybookie.ag and you win, you're going to have plenty of money to pay for your groceries, okay? This is what you want to do, okay? You want to win, get paid. You want those parlays? And here's the deal about parlays. They're very difficult. Parlays just ain't easy, people. And here's the deal is if you got the first couple of legs of your parlay, you can get out early. Because at mybookie.ag, they got a get out early of parlay card, and you can play it. Now, and it's so good. It's so wonderful. What I need you to do is go to mybookie and see all of the different stuff that they have, which is awesome. They've got an odds boost where you can change the number and get a better odds on different games. You can make your own number on games. It's so cool. Everything about MyBookie, it is a great site. You will love it. You will find out that this is where you want to play and get paid. Plus, they got a cash bonus that you can get out early on as well. So if you're looking for the best way to play, win, and get paid, there's one place to go. It's MyBookie.ag, but you got to put in promo code BET975. MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere. MyBookie.
Get over here!
ESPN 97.5, the only Houston sports station with a bidet.
Red sun rises. Blood has been spilled this night.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand-new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.